I tell you what, before we get started, why don't we have a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for this morning that you've given us, another morning of breath and life to be able to gather together freely, to worship you, to fellowship together around the person of Jesus Christ. God, to edify one another, to build one another up in his name. And Father, it is a privilege, and we thank you. We ask, God, that you would just make your presence known to us this morning. Father, that you would guide our conversations that we have around our tables. Lord, that they might be pleasing to you and glorifying to your name, Father. So we ask this, trusting that you will hear and answer our prayers. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's our topic, body, soul, and spirit. And I know I put this, when I put out the thing that, hey, we're going to do 5 weeks on intimacy, I got two responses from folks. They said either people are going to stay away because they're terrified of this topic, or people will be like, ooh, this sounds interesting. I'm going to come out and hear about this. So I'm not sure which happened, but you guys are the non-terrified group, so congratulations. We're going to go through... They saw the delay. I did that, and then it couple of... All right, so here's where we're going. Today, we're going to talk about, big picture, God's design for intimacy in marriage. And then week two, we're going to talk about some things that are roadblocks to that, things that get in the way. Week three is going to be fun. Week three, we're going to break out. We're going to let the ladies stay in here. Us guys, we're going to go over to the middle room over here, and we're going to have a panel discussion about whatever you guys want to talk about. So if you go on, and I want to encourage you to do this now, if you didn't see it in the Homefront email, if you go on to the Homefront webpage, restandbible.org/homefront, you'll see the current series, and then you'll see a button on there where you can click and submit anonymous questions. And it'll ask you who you are, you know, are you the husband, are you the wife? And then you can submit up to two questions at a time. And so we'll go through those, and in week three, we're going to sit down and myself and Patricia and Derek and Joanna and Kevin and Allison. So we're going to get three different life phases represented here in marriage. And so we're going to break out, and the guys will lead a guys panel over there and the ladies over here. So that should be fun. So think up some really good questions to throw at us. And then we'll just throw them right back at you. So it's okay. And then week four, we're going to move on to, we'll talk about those roadblocks and then have our discussion time, and then we're going to get into, okay, what do we do from here? So week four, we'll talk about rebuilding bridges, and then finally in week five, which isn't going to be till April something, we'll talk about, you know, those four things right there. Repent, refocus, repair, and rejoice, and we'll explain what that is, but that'll sort of be wrapping up the topic, body, soul, and spirit. So I'm going to be more accentuated so Matt can see it. All right. So what are we starting out with? We're starting out with what is God's big design? And we've talked about this before when we did the series on Meeting of the Waters. We said that God's desire and design for marriage is that the two become one, the two become one flesh. And we talked a good bit about what does that mean. And so this is one of the verses we go to when we talk about Ephesians 5:31, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And of course, that's going all the way back to Adam and Eve. It's going back to the garden and God's original design and for what marriage was supposed to look like, the two becoming one flesh. And that, obviously, and we're going to unpack that a lot at our tables, I hope, involves more than just the physical relationship, but it doesn't involve less than the physical relationship. So there is a lot more to it, and there's all kinds of neuro studies and stuff that have been done now that even show how the physical side of intimacy in marriage actually begins to lay down neural pathways in the brain that connect you together. And I always kind of laugh, like the thing that comes to my mind is that movie, what is that? Avatar, you know, where they connect their heads. Well, that actually, in a sort of a less weird way, happens. Well, maybe it's not less weird, I guess it's for us, right? I suppose if you were an alien, you might look at that and go, that's weird. But so there is this idea that we're becoming one flesh, and that's God's design, is oneness at all of those levels, physical, spiritual and the soul, and we'll talk about what we mean by it when we talk about the soul today. So, typical marriage relationship, or typical relationship progression, I'm sorry, pre-marriage, okay? Typical. So what usually happens pre-marriage, right? Normally, you know, we see her or we see him across the room and we go, ooh. You know, I know, like, when I met Patricia, I was walking home from my friend's house. I was 18 years old. She was sitting on my neighbor's front steps. And I looked over there and I thought, ooh, new girl in the neighborhood, right? There was a physical attraction right off the bat. And so that's what drew me over there to say, let me talk to this girl. And kept me coming back. But what kept me coming back long term was how it moved from body then to soul. And we talk about soul, we're talking about life. Okay, so think about, you know, when the way that we talk about it, how many souls were on that aircraft, or they say there was a ship that went down and so many souls were lost. It's talking about lives. So our life, who we are, is our soul. Okay, and what kept me coming back after that initial attraction to her was that, oh, I like being with her. She's fun. She's funny. She finds me funny. We have a good time doing things together. We like the same sorts of things. And there, so there was that sort of attraction. So now we're in a step a little bit closer. And then obviously, as we moved on from there, then we began to have these deeper discussions. And we got down to the spiritual level of what do you believe? What is your relationship with God like? And so that there becomes this deeper relationship. But that doesn't happen right off the bat. Typically, it's not, you know, we're not sitting down going, boy, I just saw this person worshiping, or I just saw this person and I thought, well, I'm so attracted to her spiritually. Not typical, okay? But this is generally how most of us kind of went through. Body, soul, and then spirit. That's the progression pre-marriage. Intimacy in Christian marriage should actually flip-flop. It should flip-flop. And the idea here is that as we abide in Christ together, as we have this deep spiritual connection with one another, as we worship, as we spend time in the Word together, as we serve Christ together, as we're growing spiritually together, that enriches our experience, our soul to soul, doing life together, becomes more rich because there's a spiritual underpinning to it. And then out of that flows a healthy physical relationship. And so the body kind of flows out of the spirit rather than the other way around. And so in marriage, this would be our ideal, that things would come out of the spiritual and work their way out into the rest of our lives. So just keep that picture in mind. And then I dug through and I said, what are some characteristics of healthy intimacy in marriage according to Scripture? Like, where do we go to find that? And is there other scriptures that talk about this topic? And so I'm going to go through very quickly. Now, you guys have on your tables, you should have at least one of these per couple, I think. I have extras, so if you want to have one. And so these are the passages we're going to go through. You don't have to necessarily read ahead, but these are for you to take home and also for when we get into our table discussion. So characteristics of God's design for marriage intimacy. The first one, and I've grouped them into pairs of three and three. So we've got joy, delight, and desire. Joy, delight, and desire. So our intimacy and our relationship, the intimacy in our relationship should be characterized by joy, delight, and desire. And where do we find that? Proverbs 5:18. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. If we look at Ecclesiastes 9:9, enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your breath of life that he has given you under the sun. He's talking about the shortness of life here under the sun and saying, enjoy your spouse. You're to enjoy one another. Song of Songs 2:3. As an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. With great delight, I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. So if you hear from the voice of the bride, of the woman, she's saying, you know, he's an apple tree, right? He's like among the trees of the forest. He's something special in my eyes. and I take great delight to sit with him. Okay, so there's joy, there's delight. Song of Songs 7, 7 through 10. Your stature is like a palm tree. This is fun. Can I stop here for a second? Can I stop here for a second? So when my boys were 10 and 7 or 8, we read through the Bible. They wanted to do this. They said, we want to read through the Bible cover to cover. And so we put a big chart on the wall with all the books. And so, you know, every time we'd finish a book, one of them could go up and cross it off. And of course, we came to Song of Solomon. And so we're reading through it, and they're just giggling the entire time, how hysterical this is. And when we get to chapter 7, and just as we're heading into chapter 7, Patricia comes home. She had been out doing something, and she comes home, and I heard the door open up, and I heard, so I called to her and told her to come upstairs, and then I started doing this dramatic reading in a loud voice as she's coming up the stairs. I said, your stature is like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters. I say, I will climb the palm tree and lay hold of its fruit. Oh, may your breasts be like clusters of the vine, and the scent of your breath like apples, and your mouth like the best wine. And then look at this. I am my beloved's, and this is her responding to what he just said. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. So my boys thought this was hysterical, of course. And they remember it to this day, but that's, you know, locking scripture into your head. But you just look at the way, look at the wording, look at the way that he talks about his bride and how much joy and delight he has in her. That's a beautiful thing. And she picks up on it. She says, like, look at this. His desire is for me. So joy, delight, and desire. We're going to move on to the next three that characterize intimacy, godly intimacy in marriage. Purity, honor, and faithfulness. Purity, honor, and faithfulness. So Song of Songs 2 through 3. As a lily among the brambles, so is my love among the young women. As an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among young men. So these are the responding to one another here. But they're saying, I honor you, I value you, you are special. In my eyes, you are one in a million. You stand out among all of the other trees in the forest. You're the one. Okay? And she's responding in the same way back to him. So they're honoring one another through their speech. Proverbs 5, 15 through 17, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Now, we talk about purity and we talk about faithfulness. Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. So if anybody ever comes to you and says, you know, we're trying to spice things up, you know where I'm going with this, right? You can immediately go to Proverbs 5 and say, yeah, no. Sorry. You're like, yeah, does the Bible say anything about that? Yes. Yes, actually it does. And I would say, not only actually, but I would say virtually as well. Okay? Both actually and virtually, you together, that relationship is for you two and you two alone. That's one of the beauties of the intimacy relationship in marriage, is that that is something that is absolutely positively unique between the two of you, that you share with absolutely no one else. No one else, none of your friends, none of the other people that your acquaintances that you run into have any participation in that. That is an absolutely pure, faithful, honoring thing that happens just between you. That's a connection that only the two of you have together. Moving on. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulteress. So again, there we have honor. We have the undefiled, so purity, faithfulness. And then Malachi 2:15. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? Stop there for a second. Think about that. Remember when we talked about that circle and how things are flowing out from the Spirit in the marriage relationship should flow from the core of the Spirit out to the physical? That little sentence right there, I've passed over so many times to read the rest of it and not stopped and focused on that. Look at that. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? That's just if you don't do anything else today, meditate on that a little bit together. That's powerful. And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring, yes. So guard yourselves in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. So again, this idea that the characteristics of intimacy in a godly marriage, or godly intimacy in marriage, we have purity, we have honor, honoring one another, we have honoring the marriage bed, we have faithfulness. All of those things should characterize the intimate relationship that we have with our spouse. And then finally, and this isn't a three, this is just a two, we have romance and self-giving love, the other characteristic that we want to talk about and we'll get to discuss today. So 1 Corinthians 7, 4 through 5, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. And so what is it? What is that? I know people have looked at that and, you know, what does that mean exactly? It sounds, you know, it's first century writing, but what does that mean in our, you know, in the 21st century? And what it means is that God desires us to have self-giving love towards one another, that we're to give of ourselves to our spouse, that our body, because we're one flesh, so now my body is her body. Her body is my body. We share in this. It's not a situation of going, well, you don't have authority over your own body, so here's what I want, because it's a two-way street. It's the idea of saying, I'm giving myself to you. You know, you go back to Song of Solomon, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine, right? So it's not that I own you, it's that we own us. You know, I am yours and you're mine. And there's this back and forth, this self-giving love that happens both physically and in other ways. So this isn't just purely about the physical relationship. So self-giving love. And then it goes on, do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So again, we go back and say, well, what is the time that you should set aside where there is no physical relationship, and it's to take care of the spiritual. It's to remember to go back to the core, because everything has got to flow out of the core. It flows from the Spirit on its way out. And again, it's by agreement for a limited time, right? So it's the idea that, hey, we're going to fast from physical intimacy for the next, you know, year. Don't do that. That's not biblical. And then, of course, there's 1 Corinthians. This is a big one, and it's not, I'll say this, it's not primarily talking about the marriage relationship here. It's talking about love in general in the church, among brothers and sisters in the church. But as we talked about in previous series, the relationship between you and your spouse as husband and wife is trumped by the relationship between you and your spouse as brother and sister in the Lord. That's the primary relationship, which again correlates back to that circle where we start in the Spirit and we move our way out. That's an eternal relationship. And so as this applies to every brother and sister in the Lord, it applies especially within your marriage, because if you can't practice this type of love in your most intimate relationship that you have, your chances of practicing outside of it are pretty slim. So what does it say about this kind of self-giving love that should characterize our relationship? It's patient, it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not arrogant, it's not rude, it doesn't insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices, which goes back to what we were talking about earlier, about rejoicing, right? It rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. When Paul talks about faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, that everything else will fade away, and this is the one thing that will remain. So romance and self-giving love. And then I already went on to this one. Song of Songs 2:16, my beloved is mine and I am his. We just go back to that verse we talked about earlier. There's, I think once we get married, and this is very, very typical, prior to getting married, as we're pursuing one another, maybe the wife is trying to be pursued, right? Is making herself attractive to this man who's pursuing her. That's kind of a dance, right? And he's being romantic and writing poetry and bringing gifts and doing all kinds of wonderful things, right? And then we get married. And then life begins to happen around that. And we'll talk more about that. And I think those are some of the things that cause the bridges of intimacy to get washed out is just life. And we stop pursuing and we stop trying to attract that pursuit. And when we do, that characteristic of the marriage relationship begins to fall apart, the romance and the self-giving love towards one another. We're gonna close in a second here, so you guys can have a lot of time to talk about this. But I want to emphasize how this is not purely the physical. I have a friend that I worked with years and years ago, and his wife, they were young at the time, and his wife had a stroke. He is a doctor. And his wife had a stroke in the shower. Luckily, he was home and knew what to do and was able to save her life. They had, prior to this, the two of them were two of the most active. He was a Navy SEAL. He was a medic in the SEALs. And they skied together. They hiked giant, ridiculous mountains together. I mean, they were like the hardcore extreme couple, right? And after her stroke, she was basically an invalid. She couldn't feed herself, she couldn't, bathe herself, she couldn't walk anymore. I mean, like, she was just, that was it. And they were very young. This is the beginning, and they're probably in their early 30s when this happened. And the way that he continued to selflessly love her and be romantic even through that, and for the rest of their married lives together, is a testament to this kind of intimacy that flows from the inside to the outside, that's not about, doesn't begin with the physical, but begins with the spirit, flows out to the soul, and then into the physical. So these are our characteristics: joy, delight, and desire, purity, honor, and faithfulness, romance, and self-giving love. So I recognize for probably all of us, when we look at this, we think, okay, that's God's ideal. That is not where I am right now. I don't want to put this up there and hold up an ideal to go, try really hard, try a lot harder than you're trying, or to beat you up and say, look how terrible you're doing. This is really bad. But I'm hoping that it's encouraging. And why do I hope that it's encouraging? We just finished that whole series on Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? The hope of glory. And it's Christ in us that's the hope. And the glory is being able to live the Christ-like life. So with Christ in us, we have the hope to live like Christ, right? So if this is God's, this is my last thing I'm going to say. If this is God's ideal, and it is, we've just gone through Scripture to prove that, then God will, in Christ, enable us to live in the direction of this ideal. Okay, and we'll fail, we'll fall, we'll stumble, and God is faithful and just when we confess our sins to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, pick us back up and say, let's keep walking. But it's good for us from time to time to stop and say, where are we? How are we doing? If you guys look at I'm going to put them up on the screen. These are our table discussion questions. They're also just happen to be on the back of that handout that I that I gave you guys. So you can both read them off the screen, read them off your paper. But the reason I wanted to give you guys the handout was this week, when you have time throughout your day, whether you guys are morning people or evening people after the kids are in bed or however that works out in your rhythm, and you find some time to sit down together and have a cup of coffee and open up the Word and go back through some of these passages and talk through these questions together, I think that you'll find that it's really valuable. And in a little bit, I'll get back up here and close this up, and I will have some homework for us beyond the homework that I just gave you, and I'll tell you what that is when we're done. So why don't we go ahead and dive into these questions.